The rest of the story. The President of the United States had barely been inaugurated when he found himself in a meeting of the National Security Council and facing World War III. World War III. Advisors assured the new chief executive that indeed it was as serious as all that, potentially. The previous president had been wrestling with the prospect for the past 2 years. Crucial negotiations had started and stopped and resumed and foundered, and now time was running out. Communist China was involved, the Russians as well. The new president feared that Russia might raise the stakes in the conflict, might force the United States into a general mobilization. If the American public had only known the secret fears of their leaders, mass hysteria could have resulted. But beyond the closed doors of that National Security Council meeting, practically nobody knew the rest of the story. The fledgling president was veteran military commander Dwight Eisenhower. It was he in May of 1953 who watched with grave concern as once more peace on earth began slipping away. The recorded minutes of that May 20 meeting of the National Security Council reveal how close we came to colliding with China and the Soviet Union. And the geographical focal point of those fears, the hinge pin of that yawning door, the hot spot that had to be cooled was Korea. Every schoolchild should know how the Korean War erupted, how the Soviet-supported government of North Korea launched an invasion of South Korea, how the UN, spelled U.S., came to South Korea's aid, how the People's Republic of China then joined forces with the Army of the North. In this dress rehearsal for Vietnam, in which victory and defeat seemed equally feared, the principal hope was the truce talks. They started July of 51, mainly because the badly battered communist troops needed a breather. But the fighting did not stop. By the end of August, negotiations had caved in, and then they resumed at Panmunjom, and then they faltered again. And the only thing that seemed impervious to all of the talk and the balk was the war. 1953, Truman was out and Ike was in. The new president was quickly confronted with one of the greatest dilemmas of his or any president's presidency. We now know what Eisenhower and the Joint Chiefs were anxiously discussing that day in May. We now know the depth of their concern, the proximity of the specter of a third world war. We know that as the chiefs chewed their fingernails up past the second knuckle, the president of the United States declared how far he was willing to go. With the truce talks foundering, a worldwide war beckoning, something drastic had to be done. And it was. The following day, Secretary of State John Foster Dulles relayed the warning to the Chinese government. The day after that, a final proposal was issued at Panmunjom. The North Koreans were given 1 week to reply. The following week, North Korea broke the deadlock. On July 27, an armistice was signed. And Ike's peace or else threat was the big bomb, a nuclear strike. Now, history books credit negotiation for having averted a global conflagration in 1953. But now they'll have to include that the President of the United States injected an ounce of prevention measured in megatons, because now we know the rest of the story.